Well, happy Sabbath, church, and happy Sabbath, graduates. Welcome to our graduation weekend. We started last night with a wonderful first commencement service full of celebration, and we're continuing on the Sabbath, deepening that celebration by engaging together as we worship God and celebrate what He too has done for our graduates. I did want to make one note, just in case you hadn't noticed, the music that was performed by the choir today was actually also written by one of our graduates. He was playing the piano for that piece. It's my pleasure now to introduce our speaker for today. Our speaker for today is Elder Garth Gabriel. He is the president of the Lake Region Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and before being the president, he was the executive secretary of that conference. But this is not where he started his career. Pastor Gabriel graduated from Atlantic Union College and pursued a career in business. During the first number of years of his career, almost a decade, he was a sales executive for a Fortune Global 50 company, a pharmaceutical firm, and one of the largest privately owned fundraising organizations in the United States. But he was also an entrepreneur, and he owned and operated two Christian book and health stores in Detroit and Kansas City. But despite his success in those areas, Elder Gabriel felt called to the ministry, and he has now served 25 years as an ordained minister and a conference administrator for the Lake Region Conference. He also, I discovered today, is a musician. He was part of and is the Heritage Singers for over 40 years. And I know that just about everyone in this room of whatever age recognizes who the Heritage Singers are and the great work they have done nationally and internationally in sharing God's message through music. Pastor Gabriel's wife is the former Rosita Valentine, and she has shared his passion for ministry and has been his partner for 44 years. They have four adult children, and I said this morning they were all graduates of Oakwood University, which they are, but one of them spent 1 year at Andrews University. So there is a redeeming fact in that. And they also have four grandchildren. Elder Gabriel, we are so pleased you can join us today, and we welcome you up to the podium.
Thank you so much, Dr. Luxton. Thank you for your gracious introduction and also the invitation to be here on this special day. To the Board of Trustees, President Luxton, and other officers of the university administration, faculty and staff, family, friends, well-wishers, and finally, the 2023 graduating class of Andrews University. Congratulations, class of 2023. This is a significant milestone in your life's journey. We celebrate your achievement and the commencement of new chapters in your lives. You are ready to depart from these hallowed walls as faith affirmers, knowledge seekers, and world changers. May God continue to bless you as you walk with Him. Let us pray. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ears to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Amen. The book of Genesis is probably the most important book in the Bible, for it is the foundation upon which all other 65 books of God's written word have been based. The book of Genesis displays the special creation of all things by the eternal, self-existent God. God is self-existent, you know. because when time began, he already was. God exists independently of any cause. He is the uncaused cause of everything that exists. Now, I've often wondered why God said to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 14, "I am that I am. Tell the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God is using the first person common singular verb in the Hebrew, which is haya. It means to be. So even though I am, it's in the present tense, it also means to be. When God's people refers to him or refer to him as Yahweh, which is the third person masculine singular form of the same verb haya, it gives a past tense to God. Now, some translators argue only for the future tense of I am, and I am means I will be who I will be. Because the verb has an active quality, and because the Israelites lived in the light of the promises for the future, they were trying to make their vision clearer. So if you told an Israelite living in bondage, I will be sent me, that seemed to be of little help. Why? Because they only focused on the here and now. But God knew what he was saying, because if he said to Moses, tell them I was sent you, that would give a bad, negative connotation of someone who just was. If he said, I will be sent you, that means there might be a problem that too much time could elapse before help would arrive. But God, in his infinite wisdom, says, I am sent you, which means that God is not bound by time or space. And while he is present, he was in the past and will always be in the future. Even in the Greek translation, Jesus himself used the powerful words, I am, in John 8, 58, which denotes that God is self-existent and our creator. In Psalm 90, verse 2, Moses himself, after meditating on the concept of the eternal, that which has neither beginning nor ending, discloses, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In Genesis, this self-existing God is revealed. That's why the most significant attacks on the Bible have been directed against the integrity and authority of the book of Genesis. An alternative to creation is evolution, which assumes that this complex universe can somehow be explained apart from the infinite creative power of God. But I'm here today to remind us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I encourage us to study, meditate, and contemplate this foundational book of Genesis. We need to know that what we believe about all our origins will affect our lives today and our destinies tomorrow. If we were to look at our lives introspectively, like Moses did, we might find that many of our problems occur because we have forgotten the first four words in the Bible, in the beginning, God. Somebody needs to be reminded that you cannot begin right unless you begin with God. Many of the problems we face daily are because we did not begin with God. Much ignorance exists because men and women alike do not begin with God. If we want answers to life's greatest questions, no matter our field of study, we must begin with God and his word. Now, I recognize what evolutionists tell us, but do you want to know about the origin of the planet Earth? Can I get a little personal about how man came into being this afternoon? In the beginning, self-existent God, in the beginning, I am who I am, created the heavens and the earth. When scientists tell us about their geological findings, read God's word, and you can testify about a man named Noah who preached for 120 years, and a flood came and destroyed the earth. It will make geological findings a lot easier to understand. Graduating this weekend, and graduates from different backgrounds and different cultures Do you really want to know why we have so many diverse languages? God's word will tell us that it was not because of intelligence, but because of iniquity that resulted in this diversity. The word of God can solve any problem you or I may encounter and answer any questions that we may have. It will lighten any load we are carrying. And I submit today that the reason we are still so confused about religions, we keep questioning as to what is real and who is real. We have forgotten that in the beginning, God. The psalmist in Division 19, 1 through 6, encourages us to look to the sky to see the glory of the Creator. Job in chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, tells us to look to the animal kingdom to see the glory of the Creator. God is creating in Genesis. And then in verse 26 of chapter 1, God, Elohim, three of them, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, declare, let us make man in our image. We are then fearfully and wonderfully made. As a matter of fact, the psalmist declares in Division 139, verse 14, look to man to see the glory of the Creator. I want to tell us a little bit about us as we look to us and see what God has done through us. You and I are born with 300 bones, but when we become adults, we only have 206. Babies are born without kneecaps. They will appear during the ages 2 through 6. The muscle that lets your eyes blink is the fastest muscle in the body. It allows us to blink 5 times per second on average. We blink almost or somewhere around 15,000 times a day. And I used to think that men would blink more than women, you know? But women blink almost twice as much as men. An average human scalp has 100,000 hairs. I shared with folk already, I'm not average, I probably have 300,000 hairs. Now, did you know that it is impossible to sneeze with your eyes open? Try it sometime. And when you sneeze, all your bodily functions cease. Even your heart stops. Look to man to see the glory of the Creator. If your DNA is stretched out, all 10 trillion cells in your body, they will stretch over 744 million miles. As a matter of fact, it would reach to the sun and back 4 times the sun, 93 million miles away. The colored part of our eyes is called the iris. Behind the iris is the soft, rubbery lens that focuses the light onto a layer called the retina. In the back of the eye, the retina contains about 125 million rods and 7 million cones. The rods pick up shades of gray and help us to see in dim light. The cones work best in bright light to pick up colors. Every person's fingerprint is different. Every tongue print is different. And even though we are all made in God's image, we still, each of us, are unique. Remember, graduates, that your unique design and your unique personality are part of God's plan for your service and purpose in Him as you enter this new phase of life. Sadly, though, in the book of Genesis, after finding out how we were made in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, we find another being, the one who bestows our messed up attitudes. He is the creator of confusion. He is the counterfeit. In the book, Great Controversy, Ellen White, that prolific writer of much of this, of the spirit of prophecy, tells us, there was one that chose to pervert the freedom that sinless man was experiencing. Satan, she says, next to Christ, had been most honored by God. Little by little, Lucifer came to indulge a desire for self-exaltation. Since he was not self-existent, he became self-exalted. Sister White goes on to say that all heaven had rejoiced to reflect the Creator's glory and to show forth his praise. But a discord now marred the celestial harmonies. So I recognize that those in heaven, the angels and those who surround the throne, recognize who Creator God is. And what do? They respond with praise towards Him. Satan does not like it when we pay homage to our Creator. He wants praise for himself. But since we are fearfully and wonderfully made, I want to share with us today a plan that will bring glory to the heart of God and leave Satan fighting mad. You want to leave him mad today? Here it is. Since we recognize that I am, was, we need to have what I call pre-praise. Pre-praise means praising him before trouble comes your way. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm going to give you praise in advance for the victory I will have when trouble comes. Lord, I'm going to give you praise in advance for the interview that I will have a hard time going to, but I know I'm going to praise you for the results. Lord, I'm going to give you praise in advance for the positive response to my grad or post-grad application, even though all requirements were not met. Lord, I'm going to give you praise in advance for the wedding that is on the way, even though I don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Praise him anyhow. We ought to praise God when trouble comes, when we learn to lift our voices and praise him before trouble comes. And we will believe there's nothing too hard for the Lord. That's pre-praising him. Secondly, since he is I am, which means he's also our very present help in trouble, we must honor him with present praise. Are we in trouble at this time? Unsure of what the next move will be? Praise him anyhow. Praising him in the midst of your troubles and uncertainties will help get Satan off your back. God's people will live not a life of defeat. Let me tell you, you will not be jobless much longer. You will not be broke much longer. You will not be sick much longer because of praise. I hear David saying, I shall not die, but I shall live. We need to praise him presently in the midst of our troubles. Why? Because he is the God also of today. And thirdly, since God is not just a God of the past, not just a God of the present, but he's also a God of the future. We need to have not just pre-praise or present praise. We also need some post-praise. Post-praise is that it's over. And when it's over, you recognize that trouble doesn't last always. If you have been delivered from something, if God just finished doing something extraordinary in your life, you were not sure you would march in May. If you were just blessed with a miracle, you better not sit quietly and sophisticated. You better give God some post-praise just for you being here because he is the God of forever. Can we praise God for what you have accomplished and achieved today? Praise him, pre-praise him, present praise him, and post-praise him. Well, Pastor, I'm almost with you. I understand that I need to bless the Lord at all times. I understand that I need to pre-praise. That's before trouble comes. I know I have to praise him now in the present because he's my very present help in trouble. I can do that. I also know that I can praise him after my pain subsides. That makes sense to me. I will post-praise him because I'm thankful for what he has brought me out of. That storm that was assailing me, he brought me out of it, so I'm going to praise him. But ask me, how can I praise him when, like Paul, I am stuck with a thorn? It is unbearable, and it's not going away. My loved one just died tragically. I'm going through some tough times. Someone broke my heart. My heart is broken. My pain is severe. I don't know, Pastor, who to turn to. I just know I am living with this thing, and it's given me a rough way every morning, noon, and night. So how can I praise God despite my thorn? I'll tell you what we can do. Praise him for his grace, because his grace is sufficient for you. May I remind us today that grace is God's unmerited favor to every single one of us. If you successfully completed your coursework, that's God's favor. If you have food and shelter, that's God's favor. If you are not confused, defeated, or destroyed, it is because of God's favor. And what I love about Creator God is that He gives us favor, not based on the bad things we have done, not on how good we have been. He gives us favor because of who He is. He is just a good, kind God who is willing to bestow grace upon us. And if we are not careful, we may forget that grace is measured by the heart of the giver and not by the hand of the recipient. It doesn't matter who seems to have more than you or me. If it weren't for grace, we may not have anything at all. So praise Him even when you have a thorn, because His grace is sufficient. Now praise also reminds us that in this journey we are not alone. We have a protector, a guide who has brought us to where we are right now. But He will also circumvent the dangers that lie before us. This earthly journey that we are embarking on, that lies ahead, is temporary. But there's a bigger goal that this life's journey desires to reach. So I look for that city whose builder and maker is God. After all you and I have been through, we ought to give God praise. At creation, we were created to be instruments of praise. As you go into the world, praise Him. The spirit of prophecy that I alluded to earlier states that one cannot calculate the creative powers the mind receives when the mind is committed to praising God. That great composer, Johann Sebastian Bach, after writing most of his compositions, wrote the letters at the end of them, SDG, which means Soli Deo Gloria, translated to God alone, the glory. If Bach can do that in his career, could you imagine if you gave God praise in your way, what the possibilities will be? Every career represented today can praise God. The book Acts of the Apostles confirms, when the mind of man is brought into communion with the mind of God, the finite within the infinite, the effect on the body, mind, and soul is beyond estimate. In other words, you can't figure it out. It just is going to be a blessing to you. So never neglect to praise Him. Do not fall low before we look up to find Him. And isn't it tragic sometimes we lose what we have before appreciating what we had? Do not let the well run dry before we appreciate the water. Let us not lose our health before we start taking care of our bodies. Why do some of us have to see the rain fall before we appreciate the sunshine? Don't let trouble come before we decide to pray. And never let another day go by before we begin to praise. In the book, Desire of Ages, Ellen White gives us a depiction of what heaven did as Christ ascended the first time. She said, as they drew near to the city of God, the challenge was given by the escorting angels, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Joyfully, the waiting sentinels respond, who is this King of glory? And then she says, they asked a question, not because they know not who He is, but because they would hear the answer in exalted praise. The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Again is heard the challenge, who is this King of glory? For the angels are never weary of hearing His name exalted. So the escorting angels replied, the Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. The pearls of the city of God then opened, and the angelic host sweeps through the gates. That's their home. That's their land of Canaan. But I never want us to forget that we are also on our way to Canaan land. It's a city called heaven. And as we pass the halfway point, as we pass the atmosphere and the ionosphere and the stratosphere, we will find songs of triumph mingling with the music from the angel harps until heaven is overflowing with joy and praise. We will join the angels, the elders, the beasts around the throne as we praise God forever for what he has done for us, what he did in the past, what he's doing in the present, and what he will do throughout eternity. Praise him, class of 23. Praise him from whom all blessings flow. May God bless you and keep you.